Have y'all heard this great story? Jesus has called us to be alive. That we get to be living in the kingdom of God. That God is willing to pour into us. Now, we're going to Mark chapter 4, so go ahead and go there. It's a parable that Jesus tells. And I want you to get this. I want you to get these three messages. All right? This one today is this. I want you to get this word. Enough. 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 You have enough for Jesus to live a great life. You have enough. And I don't know, the church kind of went on a tangent in the early 80s, the church in America, and we had all these seminars on more. So I'm going to call that into question. I think that's very Americanized. It's the way we Americans think. We think if we got a lot of stuff, we're going to be happy. Would you agree with that? And apparently that doesn't work because there's yard sales on Saturday. You know what I mean? And so... I think in our quest for more, sometimes we don't ever release what we have. Does that make sense? In always wanting something else, we never really find out who we are and who God is in our lives and what could come out of our lives because we're always in this more gear that surely there's something else. And guess what? I want to tell you today, in the name of Jesus, He's enough. It's not something else. He's enough. And I got a lot of my colleagues who go, I need more. And I go, He's enough. I mean, Jesus is truly enough. And so I want you to know that God gives opportunity. You know, Josh bears witness to that. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be obedient in baptism. Follow Him in baptism. Be obedient to the things of God. And blessing will begin to enter into your life. But you got to be obedient to the things of God. Now, here's what we want to do a lot of the times. We want to do what we want and receive what God has. How many of y'all have ever seen that? We want to do life the way we want to do it. We want to live the way we want to live. But yet we want the benefits of God's blessing on the side. Here's what I'm telling you. It doesn't work that way. There's an order. You got to receive. Watch this. God pours out. God pours out. How many of y'all cool with that? The first move is, who pours out? We just sang it. God pours out. God sends Jesus. We receive Jesus. That means God pours out. We receive in so that we may pour out. You got it. So it's God pours in, we can pour out. But until God pours in, watch this, I'm just going to be straight up. We don't have anything to pour. Here's what a life without God looks like. You live your life. You do your thing. You collect some toys along the way. You live in a house. You make some money. You die and you're done. Okay, now that's a life without Christ. I mean, that's hell. I mean, it really stinks. I mean, look how boring that is. All you do is you do stuff for you. You have a few friends. You put in 70 or 80 years. You die and you're eternally separated from God. Now, I want you to know that's a reality. And you can look at me and say, well, Pastor Ayers, you're being judgmental. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Well, Pastor Ayers, I don't believe it. Well, whether you believe it or not doesn't change what's going to happen. And here's what I want you to know. This is where people are going to get thumped in America. God doesn't care what the majority of people say. God doesn't care what the majority of people say. I mean, what do you think God's doing right now? Ooh, I must change my mind. Congress has voted. Ooh, the people don't like it. I think I'll change who I am. No, that's not the way God works. God says, here I am, and I'm going to pour into you who I am so you might become what I made you to be. I could stop preaching right there and give an invitation. That's enough. That God would pour His grace into humanity so that we might become who He's made us to be. But I want to give us a couple things to look at today, okay? First of all, listen. He starts the parable in Jesus' ear. Well, go with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Amazing stuff today. How many of y'all are ready to be amazed by God today? Look what He said. And again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around Him was so large that He got into a boat. He sat in and out on the lake. And while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, He began to teach them many things by parables. I love it. Where is Jesus? He's at the lake on a boat. Here's what I love about Jesus. Rarely have I picked up the Bible and it said Jesus was in His office studying. In fact, that's not in Scripture. Jesus is out among us, okay? Now, here in just a minute, we will be out among the world. So I want you to know that Jesus teaches who he is out among the world. Do you see that driver there? He pours out grace into the world. That's good news for us. If Jesus doesn't do something, we don't have anything. If Jesus doesn't make a move, then we're not able to live a full and abundant life. Does everybody understand that? So he begins to teach us the kingdom of God. And he said, it's like a farmer that goes out and scatters seed. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to know. Look at this. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen. He said what? Listen. I'm not going to stay here long because I preached on this before. How many of y'all's lives would be radically different right now if you had just listened? There you go. That's how powerful. That's what Jesus says. He says, listen. Some of you today need to listen to this. You can be saved. You can be saved. Somebody needs to hear that today. You can be saved. Some of y'all are going, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. Man, I've done everything I wasn't supposed to do. I want you to hear what God says. You can be saved. I'll preach it till I die. You can be saved. You know, well, Pastor, would God save a guy that smoked meth? Yeah. Crazy, isn't it? God will even save a religious bigot. One of the toughest sins out there. Arrogant religious people. Why? They really tick God off. Why? Why do you think they tick God off? They think they're God. And you want to mess, you want to get on God's bad side, tell him you're him. He just doesn't like that. God gives opportunity. I want you to see that God gives opportunity. He said, listen. Listen to his parable. Listen. He scatters the seed. That means everybody's got a shot. How many of y'all glad to know everybody's got a shot? I'm glad that everybody's got a shot. How many of y'all glad that we got a God that everybody's got a shot? Anybody hear what I'm saying today? We got a God that everybody's got a shot. Everybody's got a shot. Now, check us out. You got a shot today. If you came in here today and said, man, I don't know about church. I don't either. You and I are in agreement. I'm still, watch this. Jesus, I love. The church, I'm still wondering about. But Jesus, I what? Love. And I say we stay in Jesus, eventually he'll make us all right. Amen? So here's the first thing I want you to see today. The seed goes everywhere, everywhere we are. We are packing God's opportunity. He said, it's like a farmer. He sows the seed. The seed is scattered everywhere. I want you to know that Jesus wants you to be with him. He'll find you where you are. Carry the seed goes everywhere. Carry, that wouldn't be the first time in your life that you broadcast a little seed, isn't it? In fact, that's what we call it in farming terms. Those of y'all grew up in farming. What do we call it? When we do that with seed, what are we doing? Come on, Maze, you've done that a couple times. You what? Your daddy sent you. How many of y'all had one of these things you cranked like this? You put that FET 3131 fertilizer in there after the yard. And you were broadcasting opportunity. Here's what I want you to know. God is broadcasting opportunity to Hillview Heights Church. God is broadcasting his grace, his truth, his salvation, his opportunity, his promise, his provision, his blessing through you. So guess what we got to do? We got to receive it. We got to receive it. And so I want to start at, what are you receiving? Are you hearing the good news of God? Have you received the grace of God? Will you live in the promises of God? I hope so. Because then God says, listen, the seed goes everywhere, but it hits three locations that are not profitable. So today, what you may need to do is change your location. He said, first of all, he said, some of the seed hits a hard path, just a path, path. Guess what it does? Seed hits a path, and guess what it does? The bird comes by. Look what it says. And he scattered. He was scattered. Some fell along the path, and the birds came by and ate it up. The birds came by and ate it up. The birds came by and what? Now, if y'all aren't cattle, how many of y'all do this? I'm going to get saved someday. I'm going to get saved someday. A lot of people play this game. Well, after I finish college, I'll get saved. Or after we have our first child, I'll get saved. Or I'm going to get faithful later in life. Here's the only dilemma with that plan. Who promised you later in life? That is correct. You did. You did. You don't know how long you're going to be here. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I mean, I really don't. I'm telling y'all the truth. I've preached funerals all the way from 2 to 102 and everything in between. Because we don't know how long we're going to be here, but right now, everybody in this room's got an opportunity to receive Christ. Now, here's what I don't understand. I'm going to preach and gripe at the same time. Nobody can force you to receive your opportunity. You see, I think we've talked about that this month. We all got opportunities. And so since we got opportunity, you know what I say? Ain't going to be no whining on the day of judgment. If you go to hell, it won't be because God didn't provide a way. It'll be because you said no to the way. And God gives us that freedom. You can be old hard path if you want to. Say, nah, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to Elvis up. Do it my way. Do it my way. I'm self-made man. If you say that, here's what you've told us. I'm dumb as a rock. I just made a very, 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 very stupid observation. Ain't nobody self-made. Somebody packed you 9 months before you got here. Nobody can get here by themselves. Nobody can come by themselves. We're all part of each other, whether we want to be or not. Guess what? God gives opportunity. Some of it, people just say no. No. Now, let me help you, church. We need to be a yes church and not a no church. The church is good at no. When I grew up in a church, they could tell you everything not to do and never told you once what to do. Anybody grow up in that church? I mean, they were anti-everything. That's all I heard out of the pulpit. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't chew. Don't listen to rock and roll if you do. They had all these rules and regulations, but they never said yes. Well, what am I supposed to be doing, God? What does the yes of God do in my life? They kind of left out. Well, it fills me with the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the patience of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the self-control of God. Well, when I get that power of the Holy Spirit in me, then guess what? I can finally live the life that God's called me to live. And so first thing is this, yes turns God on. Yes, Lord, I will repent of my sins. Yes, Lord, I believe you're Son of God. Yes, God, I will follow you. Now, here's where you got to get crazy. God, I'll even follow you where I don't understand it. How many of y'all will follow God where you don't understand it? Now, don't make that such a mystery. How many of y'all are married? Come on, how many of y'all understand that? Come on, let's be honest. How many of y'all, when you first had your first child, how many of y'all understood that? Huh? Gerald, you've got a new baby. You know, she's still in the new, right? I'm not talking about Amy. I'm talking about Harper, okay? Now, watch this. Do you understand all of her? Have you ever made this absolutely insane statement for a man that you understand women? Now, check this. You got one from ground up, and when she's 20, you still won't understand her. But you're still going to love her. You're still going to connect with her. You're still going to say yes. You're going to want the hopeful things of God. I'm telling you, we live in a mystery every day. Isn't that neat? Be careful about saying no. Here's what hard path behavior does. It says no to the things of God. Some of you today will say no to the things of God. Unfortunately, there'll be people here today that have the opportunity to be saved. And guess what they're going to say? They're going to say, no, I won't repent of my sin. No, I'm going to do it my way. No, I won't be obedient to God. Now, here's what breaks my heart. And then you'll come in my office, complain to me why you ain't got a blessing. Jeepers! That doesn't take a PhD. If you're not going to do what God asks you to do, then guess what? You're not going to have what God promised you. Is that clear enough? I mean, it don't work that way. God gives opportunity. I think we have opportunity. I have a hard time conjuring up a lot of mercy for people who sat in the same classroom I did, listened to the same teachers that I did, had the same opportunities that I did, but guess what? They chose to not take advantage of those opportunities. What do you do with that? See, here's the problem in the United States of America. We're filled with birds who like to eat other people's seeds. And in fact, we have birds today that deserve seed. We have birds today, if you don't feed them, they will have Occupy bird rallies. We have birds today that feel like they are entitled to other people's seed. That's the world we're living in, and that's just the world we live in today. You say, well, how in the world do you get through that world? I say, God, I'm going to say yes to your grace, yes to your promise, and yes to your power. Now, when you say yes, you got to let that go deep in you. He said the second place the seed will fall is this rocky soil, just kind of rocky. Some of the seed fell on rocky soil where it did not have much soil. How many of y'all don't have much soil? Y'all have seen this happen. How many of y'all have ever grown grass in the driveway? It's a bad deal. You know, get grass in the driveway, get a few blades of grass. I live out in the woods, and so I get grass in my driveway, grass on my sidewalk. And you know what? Boom, don't take much to pull that grass. Because you know what? It's on shallow soil. How many of y'all are on shallow soil? Which is, I'm just going to tell you this because I love you. You need to go to Bible study, not so that you become intellectually prominent, but so that God can stir your soil. You know how you get deep soil? Well, you got to work the soil. Some of y'all just kind of, well, the Lord's good. Susie Sunshine Christianity. I love all these Christians. God's good as long as I'm telling you what you want to hear. And then as soon as I tell you what you don't want to hear, God's what? Well, it's usually not God, it's me. I love pastoring. You're wonderful as long as you say yes, and as soon as you have to say no, that can't be of God. But guess what? God says yes and no so that we might be deep, so that we might grow. Because guess what he says happened here? It sprang up quickly because it was shallow. Be careful. Great things take some time. Amen? Great things take some time. Somebody been married 6 months and they tell you that they know all about marriage, they're clueless. They don't know and they're still on a honeymoon. How many of y'all, everybody likes their first 6 months. Now, if they've been married 60-something years like Earl and Cindy and they're still smiling, you listen to that. Because that's rare. They've been through, guess what? They got deep soil. Started out in a depression, fought World War II, went through Vietnam. Y'all been through a depression, through dope-smoking hippies now to the stuff we're into today? And you found this, Jesus is Lord no matter what we do. That's powerful, isn't it? That's deep soil. Jesus is going to be Lord no matter what we say. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus has been through all the presidents and survived? He's been through all world leaders and what? Survived. He's going to be Lord no matter what. Stay with him. Listen. Watch being shallow because here's what happens. When the sun comes out, when the heat comes on, it withers. The Bible says here's what happened to that shallow plant. When the sun came out, what happened to the plant? It withered and, put that up on the screen so they can see it. Some fell on rocky places. It didn't have much soil. Next verse. Are they there? But when the sun came up, the plants were what? And what did they do? They withered because they had no what? How many of y'all need to say, God, let my root be deep in you. Let it be deep in you, Lord. Now check this out. Some people go, well, this is an indication that you can fall away from grace. I don't believe that's an indication that you can fall away from grace. That means you weren't the real thing in the first place. Because, see, God grows it deep. Here's how you know you're saved. When the sun comes out, instead of withering, what do? You grow. The heat of life increases your faith, not decreases your faith. How many of y'all found that God will bring you through tough times? Anybody bring that testimony in? God bring you through tough times. God is a God that brings you through tough times. God's not shallow. God's deep. Isn't that neat? And God starts out deep. God doesn't start out shallow. God doesn't start out shallow and grow deep. God starts out deep and grows out. Does that make sense? And so I never knew what these churches were talking about. I'd sit down and I'd go to these leadership conferences and they'd go, Pastor Ayers, the church needs to be relevant. Jim, you remember going through that? We was in the relevant phase. It's toward the middle of the 80s. The church needs to be relevant to the culture. Church needs to be relevant to the culture. To the hell with that, literally. I'm not cussing. Y'all know when I cuss. I'm good at it, all right? I'm telling you right now. The culture is hellish. God is holy. God says, what we think will not save us, but who I am will. So the church needs to be faithful, not relevant. And if we'd be faithful, we'd be deep, we'd grow, and we'd bless the world. Y'all understand the formula? God didn't call me to be culturally sensitive. That's for them sissy pastors that are scared of the sun. Because when the sun comes out, yeah, the heat's on you. People say all kinds of things about me. They do. Call me all kinds of names. You say, well, how you endure that? I know who called me. And you won't live. Notice, it's powerful today now. You won't live till you understand it's not about you. Sheriff, you're a sheriff. You've been a sheriff for a long time. About as long as Moses took them through the desert, you've been sheriff. Think about that. You're not quite there, but you will be. Sheriff, anybody ever said anything bad about you? Yeah. Is it just in front of him it's happened here at church? So, Sheriff, did you take your badge off and just quit and say, I'm not going to be sheriff anymore? No, because he's not shallow. How many of y'all do that as soon as, watch it, now, church people are the worst. Lord, especially in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Well, I don't like Brother So-and-so. But I had somebody come to Hillview and they go, we didn't like our last pastor. I said, you'll hate me. And they said, why do you know? I said, your last pastor, he actually tries to like people. I said, I give it no effort. They said, why? I said, because liking people doesn't bless the world. Loving Jesus does. Make sense? What is this? Elizabeth will tell you this. She'll tell you, ask her after the service. Elizabeth, you can have a little altar call up here of truth right here. Elizabeth has loved me longer than she's liked me. See what she does, Sheriff? She agrees. She kind of liked me, and then she fell in love with me, and then she didn't like me, but she loved me. And the reason we didn't have to go through a separation is because she loved me. If she'd just liked me, we'd have been divorced because the soul's not strong enough to make it through. Now y'all understand. So Josue, oh great keyboardist of the kingdom of God, with swoop hair. One day the Lord will want you to have a wife. And if he wants you to have a wife, you got to love her because she ain't going to like you always. That makes sense? How many of y'all understood? Stan, this is the depth of God's relationship. Is that he comes into our life and forgives us and won't let go. And listen, that's not something unusual to us. How many of y'all have children? Now really think about this, parents. What's your relationship with that child? Man, I love my children. Even when I don't like my children, I what? But I love them. And you know what? My children love me. Even at times they've not liked me. But they've loved me. And God calls us to this deep love, which takes us to the third place the seed hits. Among thorns and weeds. Now, Elder Scott, I used to teach that we need to chop the weeds. I'm going to give you another insight. I think this needs to be a comedy. Sometimes we need to chop the weeds out of our lives, but I'm going to really be honest with you. I just never got excited about chopping weeds. How many of y'all have ever got excited about chopping weeds? My dad raised a garden, man. He did gardening every Saturday. I mean, when I was a young child, he would wake me up early in the morning and we'd go work in the garden. And never did I on one Saturday wake up and go, oh my gosh, man, we get to chop weeds today. Man, I am so pumped. I mean, on Friday night, I wasn't sitting there going, man, I am so pumped that we get to chop weeds today. And it said the third place the seed hits is among the weeds and the thorns in our lives. Jesus says it's like the worries of our lives, the cares of this world. And I'm going to encourage you to do some. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so they did not bear grain. Now, here's what I want you to see in this sermon series. God has called us to produce fruit. God has called us. He produces. You put seed in the ground, what comes out of the ground? Fruit. Many of you, now listen, I'm going to be very careful what I'm saying here at Hillview, because y'all figured this out a long time ago. You get married and what happens eventually? Children. You produce. I've never preached that here at Hillview, and this summer it looked like we had 100 women swallow watermelons. I walk around everywhere, and guess what? God had given them a child. There was something fruitful coming out of that marriage relationship. You see, it is natural for us to produce. So I want you to know, in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have a hard time with what's going on today, especially in the religious world that says, you know what, we're all going to gather together and there's going to be no multiplication and no production in the Spirit of God's there. I go, that's not godly, natural. Because he calls us to what? Produce. If you're going to be together, you get better. The longer you go, watch this. Those of you that are involved in athletics, how many of you have a coach like this that has just come in and said, guess what, guys? Guess what, girls? We're just going to participate in the season this year. We're working every day so hard to just participate. Is that y'all want a coach like that? If you got a coach like that, God help you. I get to coach a little bit. I still coach a little bit. You know what I tell my players? I don't lie to them. I said, it's about winning. And I said, life's about winning. And ultimately, Jesus won. Wes, where are you? Wes, did we talk about participation last year in your freshman year of high school football? What did we talk about? Winning, because I want you to win. I want you to win one day in your marriage. I want you to win in your career. I want you to win in your life. I want God to win out in you. God to win. Now, let's think about that. Some of the seed, man, it gets in there and it's weeds and thorns and stickers. I mean, how many of y'all have ever had a weed salad? I mean, what do you do with weed? Be careful. Weed is not productive. You know what I mean? Does anybody know a fruit that comes from a weed? Help me, I don't know one. Huh? Watermelon's not a weed. Now, watch this. Now, I know that this is coming out now that marijuana's not harmful. Y'all have heard that, right? In the media, it's not harmful. We're going to legalize it and everything's going to be all right. It looks like to me that we aren't overworked in our society today. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you one thing that marijuana does that I have observed throughout the years is it doesn't make people real aggressive and engaging life. Have you noticed that? Most people that smoke massive amounts of marijuana do this. Dude. So you want to go work out? No, man. Well, would you like to get a job? No, dude. Have y'all noticed that? Now, I know this is not popular, but that looks like an effect. What do y'all think? Right now, we have 47% of our population in the United States of America that has decided that they don't need to do anything. So what we're going to do is enter a drug that demotivates people to help the other 47%. Now, who thinks like this? People who live in the weeds. So when you follow this world, you are following people that are covered in what? Weeds. It's kind of like those old houses where they used to let that ivy grow up on them. How many of y'all ever saw that? These old houses, they have ivy growing all over the place. The ivy be all over the house. Guess what? There was a beautiful house in there, but you couldn't see it because it was covered up by weeds. I passed by this week a house. In fact, the sheriff was with me. We were together. I passed by a house, and it was this beautiful house. You know, sheriff out there on 31W there, heading on out toward Brownsville, and it's a beautiful house. I mean, it's like a mansion, a state home. And it reminds me a lot of our lives. Some of you all have seen it. It was totally covered in weeds. And you couldn't see the beauty of the home because the weeds had overtaken the place. And I remember the house when the yard was groomed and the landscape was perfect. And we drove by it. I hadn't seen it in a while. And guess what? Nobody's mowed a yard. Do y'all know what a yard looks like if you don't mow it for a couple of years? Guess what it's full of? I mean big weeds. I'm not talking small weeds. Barry, you've been in the weed, de-weeding business all your life, true? Barry, if none of us mowed our yards, what would the town look like? Alex, you're in the weed business, weed elimination business. I better be careful how I say that. He's in landscaping yards. He's not in the distribution of cloudy minds, okay? But guess what? If we just let them yards stay to themselves, what happens? The weeds overtake them. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Instead of looking at the weeds, we need to start looking at the seed. And here's my prayer in this fall season. That the strength, the power, the grace, the certainty of God would grow us past the weeds of our lives. See, I think we stay so busy trying to chop the weeds out of our lives. Maybe we need to change gears, Chris Allen, and say, Lord Jesus, grow me past my weeds. How many of y'all got weeds? If you don't, look at your neighbor and say, you probably got a weed. You probably got a weed, man. Not weeds. Y'all going to be as a pastor. What do I got in my life? I got some weeds, man. I got some things that God's still growing on. But you know what? I really want God to grow me past that. Does that make sense? And sometimes I think this. It's a leadership concept. I think if you stare at your weaknesses, you never get strong. I think you ought to invest in your strengths. Because those are natural to you. Does that make sense? Let God play you strong the way he's made you. And quit looking at the weeds. Now, those of you that are married, this is just a heads up. Marriage tends to get really weak because what do we like to do in marriage? Oh, we know our partner's weeds, don't we? We know theirs, and we point them out. You should. We know that. We men go, he ain't never going to do that because we know each other's weeds. And the world knows all about the weeds and the thorns because that's where it lives. But man, we need a group of people that say, Jesus, grow me past my weeds. Don't let me be choked out. Let me be lifted up. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you what God's called us to produce 30, 60, even 100 times. 30, 60, even 100 times. Look what he said. Some of the seed hit what kind of soil? Good soil. And it grew and it produced a crop. Some multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times. I want you to know today that that scripture is literally true here at Hillview Heights Church. God grew this church 100 times. 100 times. Literal. Not preacher talk. Literal. Imagine Jesus Christ 100 times stronger in you than he is right now. Wow. Imagine this church 100 times more effective than it is right now. But I want to tell you, I want to thank you for what you've done this year. I want to thank God for what he's doing. And guess what? It just every year just gets more exciting about what God's going to do. I want you to know, as of this service today, we've seen 556 baptisms. The Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you ought to cheer for that. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. You know how exciting that is to me? Let me tell you how exciting that is to me. The average Southern Baptist church is at 5 a year. Now, the word I would have to use to describe that would be very inappropriate for this setting. That's below bad. You know why that's where the average church has arrived? Because we would rather focus on who we are than who Jesus is. And we spend more time looking at weeds, playing in shallow soil and saying no to God than we do saying, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm messed up, but I want to be grace-filled. Lord Jesus, grow me deep in your things and get me past the weeds in my life. When you start doing that, 30, 60, 100 times, God will move in your life. Amen. Dream with me just a minute. We've seen 566 baptisms so far. That's a new all-time record here for a year at Hillview Heights Church. And guess who made that happen? Jesus. So I want you to know, your pastor, I am humbled, bewildered, and melted down, really. It happened at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, we saw a new record, 555. Joshua, because he was obedient to God, he's obedient to God, baptism today. Guess what? Every one of those is important. Now, some of y'all can look at me and say, Pastor, it's not about numbers. You're right, it's not. Every one of those numbers is a person who's been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about people being changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think God desires to see more than 5 people a year changed in our churches. It's also about this. You and I can't change them. I'm tired of hearing about discipleship with no harvest. Because that's biblically impossible. Who said this parable right here? Ma'am, who? Jesus. Jesus said, man, I have created you to multiply and produce. I desire a harvest. I want you to know this today. Jesus desires that you be with him. Jesus desires that you be filled with his blessing. Jesus desires that you multiply and grow in the kingdom of heaven. So here's the way I look at it. Heaven's going to be 30, 60, 100 times greater than what we see right now. I don't know what my brother Joe Osteen was writing, my best life now. I don't understand that. Maybe he hadn't read what I've read. Best life later. It's not about right now. It's about later on. Right now, God has saved me. Later on, I'm going to see 30, 60, 100 times the glory of God later on. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad to look forward to a life that it gets better later than it is now. How many of y'all glad I'm not losing life? What am I doing? Now you get it. So I'm not getting old. What are we doing? Sheriff, you ain't getting old, you're what? Getting better, son. Tell Marilyn that every day. Remind her of that. Say, Marilyn, that preacher said, I'm getting better. You're getting what? Somebody hear what I'm saying? I'm about to close. Y'all got this today? How many of y'all going to get better this week? How many of you going to say, yes, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sin? How many of y'all going to say, Lord, I got you in my life. Keep me out of the shallow soil. Get me a little deeper. By the way, Bible study will help that. Guess what else will help that? An honest friend. How many of y'all got an honest friend? How many of y'all got a friend that'll tell you who you really are, not what you want to hear? I married mine. Honest friend. Elizabeth loves me so much, guess what? Sometimes she tells me, you need to be quiet. You know why she tells me that? Because I need to be quiet. Now I think about it and I go, I need to be quiet. Come on, guys, let's let God till us and love us, and we're going to see a harvest that is incredibly neat if we just surrender ourselves to God. Amen. Y'all cool with that? All right, just some things to do. I'm a practical kind of guy. Y'all need to invite people to come hear the gospel. Amen. I'm going to promise you this. I'm going to tell them about Jesus every Sunday if you'll get them here. Amen. I hope next year we see. Watch this. What's 100 times 500? A 100 times 500. Boy, I tell you what, I can see that our public schools have done wonderful in math. Somebody get your phone out and go to the calculator. 500 times 100 is what? What if God grew our baptisms, multiplied them times 100? See, it's, hold on, it's what? It's 50,000. So guess what? If God went 100 times more in this church next year than this year, we'd still have 40,000 unchurched people in Warren County. But here's what I want you to know. We got a God that's throwing seed everywhere. But you got to be a part of the distribution. And you got to be the life. And I want to thank you in the year of telling. Hey, listen, I'm celebrating with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know they'll see. I got to watch some of you. Some of you are waiting for me to walk in one day and say, we're finished. I want you to know, I don't get to say that. However, one day, not today that I know of, but one day there will be a trumpet blows. Doodly doodly doo. And at the blast of the trumpet, there will be a whimper of a great white horse, and there will be the King of Kings, and he will say, it is finished. And when he says, it is finished, I want you to hear the power of this. Nobody else gets to say anything. They're going to drive Americans crazy. Al Sharpton can say it's not fair, and God will tell Al Sharpton he doesn't care what he thinks. God can tell Bill O'Reilly that the real no spin has showed up. God can let Oprah Winfrey know that the old network is out of business. It's done. All the great things we've listened to will no longer be heard because it is finished. Now, when it's finished, God desires you be with him. And so today, guess what? There are going to be some people get saved. You say, well, how do I do that? God's got to save you. How will he save you? He'll save you like this. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all are that far along? How many of y'all have sinned? How many of y'all broke at least one of the commandments one time? Good, sinner. And those of you that haven't broke all the Ten Commandments, you've broke one because it says don't bear false witness. It's hard to live in America and not covet. It says don't covet. We covet a lot, don't we? It's called advertising. We want to be somebody else. We want to act like somebody else. We want to look like somebody else. Well, guess what? God made you to be you and wants to save you. Here's the way it works. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from a grave. And I believe, Lord Jesus, you will save me. Lord, I receive you. Seed. Now, guess what? God ain't going to come up here in your head. He's going to get in your heart because he doesn't go in the shallow soil. He goes in the deep soil and he changes your life. Anybody know for how long? Ever. Pretty cool, isn't it? That oil of old lay, ladies, it only works for a little while. Jesus works forever. That makes sense? You can lift your face up, pull your ears back. You can do all that jazz. But guess what? You're going down one day. Amen. You might be wrinkle-free in the casket, but you still be dead. And Jesus wants to finish his work in us. Do you understand the power? Receive it. Amen. Receive the work of God in your life. There are going to be some people saved today. Some of y'all need to get, listen, it's time to line up. It's time to line up. If you haven't been baptized and you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, I have a very serious question, a theological question. How can you say I've received the grace of God and be disobedient to the first thing he asked you to do? You better check it. You say, well, I hear people tell me all the time, well, I'm scared to be baptized. Not if you're saved. So it's time to get real with this thing. Salvation, it's about God changing you. Now be obedient to what he asked you to do. Be obedient to the next thing he asked you to do. Be obedient to the next thing he asked you to do. I mean, you do that enough, Timmy, guess what? It's real. It's real, baby. Amen. It'll save a guy that used to ride motorcycles, won't it? Yeah. It'll save a guy that had a stroke, won't it? Yeah. There you go. So I'm talking to a guy that got saved who had a stroke that's talking to me. Yeah. Did y'all pick that up? And riding a motorcycle again. I'm talking to a guy who had a stroke who's riding a motorcycle talking to me. That's the power of God. Because, well, Pastor Eric, do you believe that God healed Timmy? Not only do I believe that God healed Timmy, I believe that God saved Timmy for all eternity and healed him for a moment. How many of y'all realize that all healing is temporary? Doctors, no offense, but the best y'all can do is temporary repair. I've buried a lot of people that had surgery. Not at that moment, but later on. Make sense? God wants us to live. He wants to produce in us. He wants his church to be full of life. You and I are becoming that in a small way, and God wants to increase. Have y'all seen that today? Increase. I know everything I've told you today is contrary to the weeds. So here's why a lot of people are going to go to hell. You think you deserve something. You deserve nothing. And by God's grace, he chose to give us grace. Now you get there, you'll understand salvation. Every time you open your mouth and tell everybody what you deserve, you just showing us what a fool you are. You don't deserve anything. But God gave us everything. So I'd receive it and live in it. Amen. You all know this. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care who your mom and daddy was. I don't care what you think your history was. And I don't care what weeds you have been into. Because I have a God that says you are forgiven. You are changed. You are destined to be with me. Now go live. That's a powerful God. It's the God that was sent from heaven through a virgin, who died on the cross, who's risen from the grave, and who walks these aisles every Sunday, bringing people to his grace. Let's stand together. Y'all been more than wonderful today, and Jesus is greater than that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to save those who need to be saved. That you draw them to this altar, Lord. And as they come, we know that you have saved them. Lord, for those that need to be baptized right now, we ask in your name that you would bring them here. And they'd say, Pastor, sign me up. I need to be baptized. Now listen to me today. Come here. Look at me. Y'all been great today. God's doing some great stuff. Listen. If I could jump inside of you and show you how good Jesus was, I would, but I can't. If I could make you be saved, if I could put you in a headlock and bring you up here to be saved, I'd headlock everybody. Not the way it works. You got to choose to receive that seed. It is available. So listen, here's what I'm asking right now. Don't deny what God wants in the name of Jesus. I'm asking God to keep everybody clear-headed. The devil telling you what you can't be. Man, I'm so sick of hearing the devil, aren't you? I'm so sick of the devil telling everybody whose fault it is. I tell you whose fault it is, he is. Lord Jesus, come into my life and change me. Produce in me your works. And let God have his way. If you haven't been baptized, this is a good day to step up. If you need to be healed, you know what? You can stand there and stare and be sick. Or you could come to this altar and say, in the name of Jesus, by faith in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to claim healing in my life. Wonder what God might do with that. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, I know somebody that prayed to be healed of cancer and they died. I didn't say he's going to live forever. If they died in Jesus Christ, then they lived. This is either a real message or it's not. I believe it to be a real message. You'll have to decide what you believe. I can't make you believe. But boy, I can sure tell you how sweet it is when you do. Why don't you come and receive Jesus? Why don't you come and be baptized? Why don't you come and be healed? If you've never shared the gospel, Tanner, where are you, Tanner? I see you, Daddy. Right. Tanner, thank you for being faithful. I thank you that Josh is going to heaven. Amen? Forever and ever. Thank you for, as a young man, 19-year-old man, shared his faith. Some of y'all been saying you've been proclaiming Jesus for 50 years, and not one person is going to enter the kingdom of heaven because you took breath. That day's going to stink for a lot of church people. You know what? They're going to look in heaven, and nobody's up there that you invited. Yeah, it's going to stink. Some of y'all who like to be casual of your faith, if you're up there, what are you going to tell God? You're going to have to explain to Jesus all the things that were more important in this world than him. See, one day it comes time, doesn't it? Now, I could lie to you and tell you happy little songs, and we could jump up and down, and guess what? If I was a Barney pastor, we're friends and friends forever, you know, Barney guy, little purple dinosaur pastor, we could fill this place up. It'd be 20, 30,000 people here to have their ears tickled. I ain't here for the show. I'm here to tell you that one day I believe, as real as rain, Dr. Earl Wassum, that God's going to say it is finished. And those who have been forgiven will live with him forever. And those who refuse Jesus will die and go to eternal hell. And I don't want anybody here to go to hell. I may be an old-fashioned stump preacher, but that's the way I'm going to die, an old-fashioned stump preacher. I still preach about hell because I want you all to be aware of it. I know for all of you that are politically correct and in vogue, I'm not supposed to say anything about hell because it might offend somebody. I've been offending people since the day that I took my first breath. Some of y'all aren't offended right now. You're convicted of your sin. You can get mad at me. You join a long list of dignified people. Or you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of your grace. Save me. And guess what he'll do? George, he'll save you. Amen. He might send a bull, but he'll what? He'll save you. Because God's greater than anything. Lord, draw those who need to be saved. Heal those who need to be healed. Inspire those who need to be inspired. But Lord, may we have an altar call that makes a difference in the kingdom right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, please don't come and stare. Come and receive grace. Come and receive God. Let God have his way in your life. This altar is open in the name of Jesus. Come on.